morning. This is fun, part two. Cool. I'm going to move this wheel up a little so you can see it. I was told it was blocked a little bit last week. Cool. See if it doesn't fall over. So who remembers last week's title? Anyone? Listen to him. Right. Good. I know. I didn't tell you there was going to be a test. So, yep. Yeah, listen to him. This week, because I get to split this up into two, the title for this week is going to be He Spoke. Yes. It was already in there, but it makes even more sense. But it just reminds me so much of how God is always speaking. And really, it was good that we looked at last week. Well, what we need to do is listen. He has no problem communicating. We need to learn to listen. And it was really shown, at least in my own life this week. One of the fun things about preaching, I don't always say it's fun, but it's one of the things about preaching, is you often get to live out your message beforehand. So this last week, my son's car died, like camshaft, clunk, you know, I mean, total dead. It's gone, bye-bye, going to the wrecker. And so I've had the joy of car shopping with him and giving him my car for the week and taking the bus from where we live. That's fun. So I go into Hunter River early in the morning. Hank, you know this route, but I'm going the opposite way. Get on the bus after a half hour of standing out there in the cold, and then go it's a neat experience. Like, I haven't been on the bus since I was in grade two, and I think I got kicked off in grade two, because they made us walk. But it's full. It's totally full. In fact, like, if I didn't book my seat ahead, there was no seat. And it was full of a lot of Holland College students, so go into town and then walk from the tax center over here. I had to figure that out too, because you circle Summerside like the drain. I mean, you circle Summerside and a bunch of different spots you drop off, so you have to figure out which one is closest. So, and then walk over here and barely get to work by 9, even though you started at 6:30. It makes for, you know, so it was an exciting week, and I'm thinking, I'm doing this because I love my son. But inside I'm going, buy a car. But it was one of those things where, boy, did I ever get to listen a lot to what God was saying in my heart. And also in the process, I got to spend a lot of time with my son listening to him. And that was really, really good for me. It was really good also for him to get a chance to talk. And again, it goes back to, are we taking the time? Now, the hard thing is, in the middle of all that, it's frustrating, right? This is not how you want things to go. I've got things to do. I want, you know, and some people get more frustrated for you than you are. We won't name any names. And it's challenging, but it's hard in those situations of life when there's the interruptions, when there's the challenges, when, you know, whatever, financially or health or, you know, in all sorts of areas in our life. And we're saying, God, what are you doing? And we want to just spew. And he's saying, no, listen, listen. But he has spoken. He still speaks. God is a God who speaks. It was with a very word that he created. Let there be light. He could have just went, zap, there's light. But he chose to speak. There is something so valuable about that fact that he is speaking. So I want to give you some scriptures that we're not going to go over today, but I want you to take them with you. These actually wonderfully came in a devotion I was doing this morning. And they're so good about how God speaks. So this is bonus material that I want you to write down. You can take it with you. We don't have a slide for this. I didn't add it in at all. It just came this morning. But the first one is John 16, the whole chapter. So write that down, John 16, the whole chapter. But it starts right out with this one verse. I've told you these things so you won't abandon your faith. Jesus is talking. And that just really jumped out. I told you these things so you won't abandon your faith. Really, it comes from chapter 15 and goes into 16, but everything, and most of 16 is about the Holy Spirit, that he's a revealer of all truth. So, John 16. Also, 1 John 4, verse 1. Dear friends, don't believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. And that doesn't mean go make a YouTube channel about all the false prophets. No, test and ask God. Listen to him. He speaks. So that's 1 John 4:1. Ephesians 4:11 through 13. And this is talking about the body of Christ and its responsibilities. And that God set us up to be equipped, to be able to test what we hear. And then one more, last one, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, the whole chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And that's talking about the body. And it's talking about the role of the church. And that's all so important when we look at how is he speaking and how is he challenging us in this world. So, we've covered a bunch of stuff last week. If you weren't here last week, go back, look at the video. But we talked about the fact that Jesus is the center of this discipleship journey in the wheel. Everything that happens in our lives revolves around him. It comes from him. It goes back to him. He is a source of everything. And out of that, he touches places in our lives and says, hey, I want you to hear me. And that's, we mentioned that last week. We talked about the fact that, you know, where you're at right now is kind of striking ground. It's kind of what's drawing attention in your life. The things that are going on, just like, hey, pay attention to this. I want you to hear this. And that, whatever the spoke is hitting, it resonates that this is what I'd like to work on with you. To help me to understand you and help you to understand me. And so pay attention. But this is a wonderful thing. What he is addressing in our lives, he always does it because he loves us. It's not because he wants us to perfect this. He wants us to have the perfect wheel, the perfect spoke, the perfect, you know, it's because he loves us. And his love is so much that he actually listens to us. That's awesome. I mean, you think about it. If you get a chance to sit down, not in front of a television, not maybe just in the car, not in front of a computer, but across a table from somebody else in talk to them and listen to them and look them in the eye and they look you in the eye, that touches our hearts. There's something incredible about being listened to. And we recognize right away, this person likes me. This person wants to hear from me. And listening shows incredible love. God listens to us. Yes, we need to listen to him, but he also listens to us. All of our complaints, all of our hurts, all of our wounds, our excitement, our distractions. He listens to us. But he is speaking right now, and he wants to say so much to us. So Lord, open our hearts to you. Open our ears to hear from your Spirit. Open our minds to understand what we are receiving. And help us to be obedient and waiting and stepping out in your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we already talked about last week about Jesus as the center of the spoke, and we wrote all those spokes out and they're impossible to read from that distance. But we're going to go through each of the spokes and talk through just a few of the discipleship parts of life. But there's tons. I'm only putting a few up here just to give you the example. I'm not making a pattern saying that this is what you have to do. Just in the same way, like there's all sorts of different groups around here. We're going to have time afterwards for you guys to sign up for groups. But signing up for a group is not what you all have to do. What you have to do is hear from him. And what you have to do is ask him. And learn to listen to him. And if you don't know how to listen to him, get around some people that do. We talked about those five C's last week, which are just ways to help us recognize we're hearing this from God. So let's look at some of what these discipleship spokes are. We'll click through a few. Natalie, we'll go ahead. We'll start talking about Jesus being the center, but one of the spokes often, and they complement each other, is the idea of curiosity, the idea of come and see. You know, this is one of the things that draws us in our relationship with God. He's like, hey, he makes us curious. Are you curious about God? Are you curious about the Word of God? That is a spiritual discipline. On the flip side of that is the idea of conviction, of dying to self, of saying, you know what, there's some stuff I got to let go of. And maybe God's saying, this right here in your life is distracting you. You know, you need to die to this. This is not good. Often it's sin. And he addresses those things because he loves you. Come and see, die to yourself. Opposite sides of this. Some other ones that I didn't list here is the idea of having like a felt need of wanting to rest in Jesus on one side, where he's just saying, man, I just need your peace. And he calls us into that rest. And on the other side of that is this mission to go. Jesus, I want to be on mission in ministry with you in the world. And he's calling us in that other direction. But see how they're opposite sides of the spoke. But they're still part of that discipleship process. The third one that I'm going to bring out is the idea of beliefs in baptism. You know, there's things that we need to grow, to learn, to understand, to start our faith and imbalance it with power and maturity. And on the other side of it is fruitfulness and grace and gifts and anointing. You know, the stuff that just God gives us. It's not just understanding, but it's his blessing upon us. The fourth one is, and this one, Heather does a whole seminar on this, and I highly recommend that, is maybe a group that you need to be in. When are you doing your next one? In the new year, okay. But it doesn't mean like this information is the answer to everything. This is saying, hey, if this is what God is touching, it's like, I want you to understand worship. You know, worship is, it's loving God. But it's also, on the other side, it can be brokenness and crushing. You know, one of the most common responses in worship and in hearing from God is to weep more than anything else. And so if you find yourself, man, every time I'm in church, I'm crying. That's God. You know, that's part of worship. In this one, I kind of even say there's three parts to it. It's also worship is God loving you. Did you know that? God, he sings songs over you when we worship him. He actually has his own songs for you. That's awesome. And that's actually from the Old Testament. The next one I just want to highlight is the idea of hearing God's voice. This, you know, it's It's one side, you know, understanding how the Holy Spirit leads, how he makes a word come alive, how we live in community with one another and learn to recognize and hear his voice, but also to know and trust the truth of his word. You know, I always used to say to students, you know, God can't remind you. Actually, God can do anything. It's harder for us to remember when God's trying to draw his word to mind if we don't even know his word. You know, it's a whole lot easier to remember something if you actually know it. So get in the word, know his word, understand and trust that his word is true. And that's part of that balance again in teaching of one side and the other. The sixth one is the idea of fellowship meals, of fasting is on the other side, in intercession, in prayer. I think Natasha and Jamie, they're doing, once a month, they're doing the table. Or no, not the table. I forget what you call it. Yeah, we eat because we're free. Ooh, I like that. That's cool. We eat because we're free. And it's even better because it is free. Or do you do a donation? No. If anyone would like to donate, because food isn't free. But the idea of one side being prayer and solitude and fasting and the other side being sharing a meal and fellowship and all the wonderful things that go with that. These are spiritual disciplines. There's times where God's saying, hey, you need to learn how to be with other people better. And you need, you know, no offense, but sometimes God even says you need to work on your people skills. All of us. It's hard, right? Family, ugh. Yeah, try car shopping. No, actually, I enjoyed it. But also, for those who are not an extrovert and people skills don't come easy, the extroverts need to learn solitude without going insane. They need to learn how to be quiet and listen to God. And God may be touching base, saying, hey, I want you to trust me, not the whole group. And I want you to learn to recognize my voice. Hearing God's voice on one side and knowing the truth of the word on the other. It's truth, trusting, and teaching. It's God's spirit whispering to us. And he also shows us that through grace and experience and mercy. And those are spiritual disciplines. Grace is, wow. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. And to understand that takes experience. It's one thing to talk about grace. It's one thing to talk about mercy. It's a whole different thing to experience and to walk that out and to live that. And that is a huge spiritual discipline. I did not understand grace until I lived in a different house. I'm not saying anything against the house I grew up in. It just wasn't, that was not something we practiced really well. We were really good at sarcasm. It's, you know, kind of one of our family traits. When I lived in a different house in college, they were really gracious people, and I thought, they're weird. They were so nice. I thought, this can't be real. They were. They were really gracious. And I was like, oh, I didn't know you could be that way. Honestly, not trying to be ignorant, but I just hadn't experienced it. And it's wonderful how God can show us some of those things, and we need to learn to trust him in that process. And, you know, it's like discipleship relationships and mentors on one side, and the other side being understanding the message of Jesus, that he is our ultimate discipler. You know, it's the idea of our time alone with God, understanding everything that we have from him as a gift and a treasure, and we want to learn to balance those things and recognize this is from you. So we learn about tithing, we learn about those, and God will test us and stretch us in those areas. And on the other side, he's saying, learn to let go and see my provision and trust. Step out in faith where there isn't provision and wait for me to provide. And it's that idea of abiding of resting, of learning to be still, and then also on the other side, learning how to be responsible with what God has given you, with the ministries he's challenged you in. So you can see there's a whole lot of stuff that could be spokes on this wheel. In fact, I came up with a ton of wheels, and we'll list through, keep going through these, Natalie, we'll post them up. So this wheel had a bunch more stuff on it, and another wheel, we'll add more, it got even more detailed, and then a little bit more. And I mean, it started to go a little crazy, you know, and we had tons of different wheels and all sorts of stuff. It was, you can get really into this, and, you know, if you're really detailed, you want to list everything out, great. But what is God saying to you in saying, this is what I want to deal with in your life right now? Now, there's one thing we're going to move on to, which is the rim. The rim, as we talked about, the rim is love. It's what holds the whole thing together. It's what touches presently is always in love. And Vicki and I, we've been talking about this as we go on walks and stuff. That's actually most all of this has come out of our conversations on walks and just asking the Lord, hey, how do we look at this? But one of the things that's really interesting, I loved physics and geometry and stuff in high school. And Vicki brought this out. She said, what's that thing called for the wheel? The formula for the wheel. And I said, oh, pi. And she goes, yeah, that. What is that? And I said, 3.14, 5, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, it goes on and on infinitum. But she said, yeah, that number keeps coming to 3.14. And she says, and you know what that is? Love. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Colossians chapter 3. Now, there's love for you, that not a cute little doggy. Sorry. Had to put that in. That's my little Lucy. She loves us, hardly nobody else. I'm not joking. But I love what this verse says, if you can ignore Lucy for a minute there. Over all these virtues, put on love. Over all those spokes in the discipleship wheel, if you want to look at it that way, it's got to be bound together by love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You can't have spokes that are all different tensions and sizes and everything. They have to be bound together. And love is what binds it together. Love is the key. And it is not worldly love. It is a love of God expressed in Christ Jesus. And it is the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, and we see this in the early church and we get excited about, yeah, we want to be loving like the early church in Acts chapter 2. We want to see that sense of awe that comes over the church in the miraculous signs that were performed and the wonders. And especially, you know, kind of in our tradition, we get excited about that stuff, right? I mean, that's like, woohoo! We want to see that kind of stuff. But we forget about the verses that go before that, which are part of the discipleship process. Verse 42 says, all the believers devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. There's a whole lot of spokes of stuff they were also devoting themselves to. It wasn't just showing up for the awe and wonder, the miracles and the signs. It's incredible when that happens, and that needs to be a part of our journey. But that's not the destination. That's not the resting place. Going on, so that it's there, though. That deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. In verse 44, it said, all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions. They shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple courts each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. It was an incredible time. all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. That's what the whole process is about. But we don't just stay in that one place and say, this is it. Because God took that wheel that we just were reading about there, and it got moving. In fact, he split it up into a whole bunch of other wheels, and it went out all over the place. He said, just don't hang out here in Jerusalem and set up a merry-go-round and go round and round and everyone get on. He says, time to go. Move these along. Go out to the rest of the world and share this. In 2 Corinthians, Paul, on one of these journeys of sharing, he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. And he's talking about how we look at the discipleship journey, how we look at the church. He says, so we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. Have we? We have a tendency in the church to just kind of stick to that still. It's a lot easier. We're very comfortable with it because we happen to be human and have many points of view. But God is calling us to something higher, and this is about listening to him. We ask him, God, how do you see me in this situation? God, how do you see them? How should I evaluate this? At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. Yeah. If we did think of him at all. But when we began, that was probably how we approached it. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. Yeah, amen. We need to view one another that way. I know them. I knew them from school. I knew them from a few years ago. That's a worldly point of view. We need to see people in Christ. What is Jesus doing in them? How do you want me to pray for them? How do you see them? The old life is gone. The new life is begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. See, the point of this discipleship wheel is not so that we're like, woohoo, I'm going places. I'm doing really good. My wheels are rolling. Thank you, God. No, it's to help other people also get into this life. He's saying, I'm putting this together so that you can go places and affect other people because I want to use you and the church to send this message of how I want to transform people everywhere. That's challenging. That's exciting. It's also kind of weird, right? Because we call that evangelism, right? Now, when you think of evangelism, most of us, I don't know, maybe it's just me. When I think of evangelism, I think of right away like Billy Graham. Big concerts, big theater, huge stadiums, all this, TV stuff, or the other extreme, somebody in a street corner with a microphone yelling at people. We tend to think of evangelism in extremes instead of the idea of sitting across the table from someone, listening to them and loving them, which is probably how God started in our life. Maybe through our parents, maybe through friends, maybe through someone at work or school. But this process here brings us into this process here because God loves every single one of us. And he wants to use us to be a part of reaching others just the way he used someone to reach you. Going on to the next section, it says, for God was in Christ. This was his plan. He was reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins or people's sins against them. And he gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. We're not reconciling them. God's already done it. We have the message that he's doing it. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ. We speak for Christ. If we're not listening to him, we may not be speaking what he's saying. We've got to be serious about learning how to hear from him and to know his word, because he actually wants us to speak for him. We speak for Christ. We are his ambassadors. For when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's an incredible gift. And that's what this whole discipleship journey is about. Sharing what God is doing in us and helping others experience what God wants to do in them. And we're all in process. But I want to break this down into the idea of, I guess, a little bit more of a linear way of understanding it. But I also want you to understand that things go around and round. You don't just get to one place and you're done. Chances are you're going to go round and round. So I'm going to shift gears a little and use the idea of a gear. If we think about these wheels, if they're in different sizes, they could be used as a gear. You know, if you got a big, huge wheel, the thing with the big, huge wheel is it makes a lot of distance, but it doesn't have a whole lot of power. But the very small center part, the closer you are to that, you don't get a lot of distance, but man, there's a lot of power. Different size gears, different effect. And so in our discipleship journey, there are different gears. Doesn't seem like you're going to make as much traction. You know, maybe you're not going far, but other times it seems like things are flying. Wow, I'm, you know, you ever see like a new, excuse me. Like a new Christian, it just seems like they go from being one person to another and they're just exploding. They're making huge ground. Like so much is changing in their life. That is that early stage of growth. And yeah, you're in a whole new place. But when hard things come, there's not the power. There's not the trust. There's not the other things. So let's begin to look at these different gears of growth. And we're going to look at six different gears of growth. And we're going to break them down and they're going to spell Christ. And this is part of this comes from Dallas Willard's book, Stages. And it also comes from another book called Journey of the Soul, which Greg, you'll recognize that one. But let's look at these different gears. The first one is confidence in Christ. That you know that you know that you know that you can trust him. You've resolved in your heart and mind that God is who he says he is, that Jesus has done what he said he's done, and that he has given us the Holy Spirit, and I can trust him. I have confidence, I believe these things, I understand these things as much as I can, and I'm going to live this out. And that's an important place. If without confidence in Christ, there's a lot of stuff we don't move forward. You know, to grow spiritually, you need to have hope that God's going to take care of you. And then that hope matures into a faith that is trusting him and learning to love others. Also learning to love that God loves you. That's a huge part. You know, though Through Jesus, we experience life from above, and that is the confidence that we have in Christ. The second gear is help in discipleship, desiring to be Jesus' apprentice. You know, and that's part of what all these different groups are that are around. All the little growth groups, all the discipleship groups, all the connection groups, the connect groups, they're all places to grow in discipleship, to get around other people who you can begin to see Jesus in them, and they begin to see Jesus in you, and we help each other follow Jesus. We get a hopeful vision, and a confident belief in Jesus moves our hearts to desire to be more like him. And we need others around us to encourage us on, to challenge us, to be examples, to help sometimes even keep us accountable, but to be the body of Christ around us. And do we want to be Jesus' apprentice? Do we want to let him be the one who leads us forward? And that's that stage of helping in discipleship. We need to be around people like that. That's why we have groups. It's really important. The third gear is responsibilities in ministry. And this is one of the things, once you've been in a group for a while, eventually a group is going to tell you, hey, you want to lead a group? No, that's not my gift. Maybe it is. Maybe you need to learn to grow in it. Maybe it's a responsibility. You know, sometimes we think everything, we have to be gifted because then we don't have to do anything, but some things we actually have to learn to do it. There's many gifted musicians, but if you don't actually practice, it doesn't matter how gifted and how well you can hold the note, if you can't follow music, it's not going to be developed. And responsibilities in ministry are basically starting to flesh out what God is putting into us in being obedient. There's another table back there with a red tablecloth which has loaves and fishes. And they are a group that is a caring group. And they minister. They serve. They help others. They do great pulled pork meals. And actually give away most of that. But that's a ministry. It's not the same as a small group. Leading a small group can be a ministry. But it's this third gear where we begin to say, I want to be obedient and get involved. I want to begin to learn how to flesh this out. I want to learn how to follow this great commission to go forward and begin to put action into my faith and be obedient to God. At this stage, we offer our gifts and our talents to help people. We serve them. We serve in the children's ministry. We serve in the cafe. We help clean the church. We come for prayer on Saturday night or on Thursday morning. We're involved in helping count money and work maybe with the elders. There's so many things. We visit at the hospital. We're involved in missions. There's a lot of things that we can do to be responsible in ministry. But what's also going to happen in this stage is you're going to run into issues. Dirty diapers. And stinky bums. Because everyone has opinions. And you're going to run into other people's opinions. And it's going to test your grace. It's going to test your motivation. And you may actually hit a wall and be like, I quit. These people are driving me nuts. And my wife's laughing because she's heard me say that. No. But it's when we begin to start taking responsibility that we all of a sudden realize this is hard. And we also realize all of our limitations and our frustrations and our breaking points where we've got to say, Jesus, I need some help with some things about me. I thought this would be you doing all this. And he's like, yeah, and I really would like to use you, but I've got to refine you. And it's during this third gear that we kind of get ground down a little bit. Usually, for those of us who used to drive a standard, third gear is what I call the city gear. You know, it's when you're driving around town, you're usually in third gear. You know, you do one and two, three is kind of where you're just buzzing along. But that's also where you get into the most trouble. It's where people cut you off. It's where they don't stop at stop signs. It was fun. When we lived in Maine, we realized when you see a stoplight, you stop no matter what the color. Because there's definitely a colorblind person going the other way. So we stopped at green, we stopped at yellow, we stopped at red. And boom, someone would go through. But in this area of responsibility, you're going to run into issues. You're going to run into hard times. This is often where God says, hey, we need to deal with some things in your own life, and you need some healing. You need to address some things. You need to go in. And we are really blessed as a church to have some incredible healing ministries as a part of this church. But it isn't often until we start taking responsibility that we run into the fact that we need some of that. And we need to go back to Jesus. And that's what those healing ministries are about. Because we can sometimes get really consumed with being really responsible and doing a really good job and then trying to measure it on our ability instead of that we were doing this for Jesus. And that is when we get on to this fourth gear of the inner journey, the inner transformation. It's to progress in a way of Christ where we need to keep turning inward towards him. It's when our failure to obey God, our failure to love well, along with our hurts in the past, our unmet needs, they all prompt us to grow deeper and to realize Jesus is the source in the center of this wheel. And we need inner healing, and we need to know that we need to go to him. This is where the roots go deep into love of Christ. And they need to grow deep into us. For many, this is a season of renewal and self-awareness, of intimacy with God, and even intimacy with others. And as we come out of that gear stage, that fourth gear, you start to move into a little bit more of the freedom of a spirit-led ministry. It's where the power of God kind of does it more through you than you, where you're relying on him. At this stage, we learn that it's not about our own flesh. It's not about our to-do list. It's not about all the things we're really good at, but it is consistently loving others through the power of God. We learn to rely on the Lord in us. We learn to take on the fruit of the Spirit, and it inhabits our lives in such a way that really it's not all about us. Where the third stage, it's easy. Sometimes it can get sideways and become about us. And there's a lot of freedom. And this fifth gear almost kind of looks like resting. But no, that's the sixth gear. The overdrive. Yeah. No torque. Yeah, this sixth gear, it's the transforming union. And it's learning to abide and to rest in Christ. It's learning to just rest in him. And as we live and move and have our being. And all the other stages, all the other things in our life, it's Christ flowing through us. And I'm not saying you've arrived when you hit the sixth gear, because chances are you'll spin right up to gear one and he'll test you on something about, do you trust me with this? Do you have confidence in this? How are you living out that? But these are all challenges in how we live out our faith with God. And so what I put forward to you, church, is ask him, what are you touching in my life? What is the thing that he is speaking? He has spoken that he's saying, I want you to look at this. I want you to address this. And then trust me and move forward. Step out in faith. Get some others around you. Get some help in discipleship. Call out to people. And be the body. This isn't a wheel of leadership for the church pastors. We're part of it. But it's equipping the church and also helping each of us recognize we all have only one center, which is Jesus Christ. We only have one source. He is our hope. Make sense? We all got it? Yeah, it's all different. Jesus is all the same, but every single one of us is different. And he knows what part of the body and where you're at. Trust him, but seek him. Listen to him because he has spoken. Let me pray for you, and I want to pray a release. Not just to go to tables, not just to go get more potatoes from Colby. I want to pray a release that God would speak so loud, but that the Holy Spirit would open your ears and your mind and your heart. Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you that you spoke everything into being. Thank you that you still speak. Holy Spirit, touch us. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Give us minds to understand what you have planned in advance for us, Jesus, today. It is day. And give us the courage to step out in faith and trust you. And I just ask that all who are saying, God, help me hear you through your word, through your spirit, in my mind, in my circumstances, if that is your desire to hear him in a greater way, I just ask you to put up your hand to heaven and say, God, I'm asking for that now. And he sees it. He knows your heart. And we say, Father, we trust you. Accomplish your purpose in us. Use us to be ambassadors to this world of all that you have already done in your kingdom come and your will being done through your Son, Jesus Christ. We give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.